and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let's take a moment here and let's ask God's blessing upon our message this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful for all that you've done for us. We're grateful for the opportunity, Lord, that we have to hear your word and to apply its truths and principles to our life. Lord, may your word fall on hearing ears. May your word fall on good ground. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to look unto you in these days. Lord, I pray that you would bind Satan and his demons. I pray your word would fall on good ground. As your word declares that if an individual is to take over a house, they have to first bind the strong man. And so, Lord, I pray that the strong man would be bound, and I pray your word would fall on hearing ears. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we looked at the importance of choosing purpose over aimlessness in our lives. We looked at having faith over worry and trusting the Lord and his purposes in our life. In the spring of 1871, a young man picked up a book and read 21 words that had a profound effect on his future. The 21 words this medical student read helped him to become the most famous physician of his generation. He organized the world-famous John Hopkins School of Medicine. He was knighted by the King of England. His name was Sir William Osler. Here are the 21 words that he read from Thomas Carlyle that helped him to lead a life free from worry. The words were this: "Our main business is not to see what lies dimly at a distance, but to do what lies clearly at hand." And this ought to be the perspective of every Christian, is to obey God today and let God take care of what happens in the future. I think so many times in the life of Christians, we are so paralyzed by the future and what it could hold that we do not serve the Lord today. Now, this morning, I want to look at another important choice that we must make in order for us to be successful as individuals, as believers, and not only that, but also corporately as a Bible-believing church. We need to choose today to choose to persevere over defeat. Choose to persevere or have patience over defeat. Now, in order for us to accomplish this, we have to have the right mindset. We have to have the right thinking. Many a battle is won in the mind before it is ever won on the battlefield. Now, I'm not promoting this morning the power of positive thinking in the sense that you can do whatever you put your minds to do. I'm not promoting that. But what I'm saying is that the Word of God teaches us that right thinking will lead us to a right action. And we have to have the right thinking or the right attitude if we're going to persevere when troubles and trials come into our life. William Barclay told of a young, bright woman who had contracted a crippling disease that had left her partially paralyzed. She had been an outdoor person. She loved nature and the sunshine, and she loved sports. And now her life had been turned into shadows. One day a friend brought her a book on the theme of Christian joy. And it was written in a vivid, radiant style. As the girl took the book in her fingers, she began to speak quietly. "Certainly," she said, "I know of this book." Her friend replied, "Oh, have you read it before?" "Yes," replied the cripple. "You see, I wrote this book." The reality is that if we don't have the right thinking, when troubles come, when burdens come in our life, if we don't have the right thinking or attitude, then the reality is that we will crush under the pressures of life. The Bible says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." So let's think about perseverance this morning. Let's think about how we can persevere in our Christian lives. Number one, let's think about this. We need to know the course we're called to run. We need to know the course that we're called to run. Look what our text says, if we could. The Bible says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, the passage of Scripture itself does not clearly outline for us the definition of the course which requires so much perseverance, so much patience. But the context of chapter 12, verse 1 gives us some insight. In Hebrews chapter 11, it spells out for us those who ran the race, those who by faith pleased the Lord with the race that they ran. Now, from the moment of faith, the moment we trust Jesus as our Savior, to the destination which is to be with Jesus or heaven, we are running a race. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we notice in this passage of Scripture, those who ran a race. The Bible says, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was translator. He was raptured. He was, and then he was not. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham followed God, even though he didn't know where he was going. He just trusted the Lord by faith. And then we find by faith, Joseph, and by faith, Sarah, and by faith, Moses. All of these are heroes of faith. And in Hebrews 11, it shows to us this list of biblical characters, now don't miss this, who despite a variety of hurdles, who despite a variety of burdens, who despite a variety of hardships, set out in their life to please God. Now understand, this Bible race or this Christian race that we're talking about, this race is not political. This is not about being a part of a political party. It's not about likes on Facebook. It's not about views on YouTube. Our race comes down to this. Are we pleasing God or are we not pleasing God? That is what our race is about. We are running the race and our destination is to be with the Lord Jesus. And this race that we're running, it's filled with sorrow. It's filled with burdens. It's filled with hardship. It's filled with hard times. It's filled with temptations. And yet the Bible says, run your race set before you and run it with patience. Now, let's think about the Apostle Paul for just a moment. And let's turn to the book of Acts or the Actions of the Apostles. And notice what the Scripture says, the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, if we could turn there. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 24. Now the Bible talks here about the Apostle Paul and the race that was set before him and the difficulties in the race that was set before his life. And yet he writes in verse 24, this is a great verse for us for motivation in our Christian life. He writes in Acts 20 verse 24, but none of these things move me. Speaking of the various obstacles in his race. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course or my race with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, what was Paul's race about? What was his course? Well, we look at Paul's life. It was filled with persecution. It was filled with prison. It was filled with beatings. He was shipwrecked. He was falsely accused. And eventually, the Apostle Paul would die a martyr's death. And yet, he said, listen, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to keep on running. Though all of these things happen in my life, I want to finish my race with joy. And that's why he wrote to the church at Thessalonica and 2 Thessalonians 3:13. He says, but ye brethren, he said, be not weary in well-doing. Keep on running your race. Now let me define this for us. Because the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that we are to run the race that is set before us. And I've underlined this expression, the race that is set before us. Because this is an individual race. Your race is not my race. And my race is not your race. Each of us have a race that we are to run. And the Bible teaches us that we are to run it with patience. Think about it for just a moment. I know it's elementary, but the reality is Noah built an ark. Enoch did not build an ark. God had a race for Noah, and God had a race for Enoch. God had a race for David. God had a race for Moses. Each of them had an individual race. Here's what we often do as Christians. We compare races. We say, well, I face this struggle, or I go through this health problem, and this Christian doesn't. It's easier for him to run his race. It's harder for me to run my race. Listen, God gives us the grace to run our own race and to help us to run the race that is set before us. And so we all have trials and burdens and difficulties that we bear in our life. But understand this race, the declaration is the same for every Christian. And no matter what we face, the declaration is the same. Run it with patience. Keep on going. Endure the burdens. Endure the trials. Keep on running the race. Number two, not only do we need to understand or know the race or the course that we're going to run, but we need to, number two, we need to not let anything slow us down. Number two, don't let anything slow you down. The Bible says in verse number one here, the second part of this verse, the Bible says, lay aside, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily, so easily beset us. Now there's a variety of things that can hinder us from doing what is right in the Christian life. And this passage of Scripture describes really two kinds of hindrances in our life. Number one, we find things that are unnecessary. Things that are unnecessary. These are things that tie us up. These are not evil things. These are not wrong things. These are not sinful things. But they are slowing us down in the race that we are to run for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, only you know the weights that you have in your life. When I was in high school, I used to do some sprinting. I was a part of the track and field team, and I would run in the short distance races. And we would train, and during the training time, we would put weights on our legs. And we would run these races with these weights. And I'm telling you, I still remember the difference running these practice races with these weights on our legs. And then when you get up at that starting line during the real race and you take off those weights, I mean, it's incredible how light you feel, how strong you feel. But it would be absolutely foolishness to run the actual race with those weights on my legs. It's not going to help me. It's going to hinder me. It's not going to help me to win. It's going to keep me from winning. And this is what the Bible is teaching us. These weights are slowing us down, and they affect our walk with God. They slow us down in the Christian life. And Christian, I'll tell you right now, anything that impacts your Christian life in a negative way, anything that draws you away from the Lord Jesus and your walk with Him, it is always a bad deal. It is always negative and bad for your life. And so the Bible says that these have to be laid aside. And they could be something as simple as a hobby. They could be something as maybe as some kind of distraction or the pursuit of anything in your life. But we have to remember that the Christian life is not about choosing between what is right and what is wrong. Because I would hope that we're at the point of spiritual maturity that we can discern what is right and what is wrong in our Christian life. But the Christian life is about what is right, what is good, and what is excellent. And we always want to choose what is excellent. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, that ye may approve things that are excellent. We want to choose things that help us in our Christian life and help us in our walk with God, not hinder us, not pull us back, not keep us from excelling in our race. We want to take those things and lay them aside. So not only are there those things that are unnecessary, but also we find in the Scripture here, there are things that are unrighteous. The Bible speaks here of sins that trip us up, areas of frequent temptation. I think if we were all honest, we would all agree that we all have besetting sins. And the Bible teaches us here that they are these besetting sins that will trip us up. I believe David had a besetting sin. I don't think he reveals it to us. I think he knew it in his heart. He wrote in the Psalms in Psalm 18:23, "I was always upright before him." This is Psalm 18:23. "And I kept myself from mine iniquity." Mine iniquity. I kept myself from my besetting sin. And if we don't deal with sin properly, then it's going to keep us from living the life of faith. It'll keep us from excelling in our Christian life, from doing what is right. Listen, the Bible teaches us that sin lies at the door. And if we're not careful, it wants to control. It wants to have preeminence. And so we got to put that to bed. We got to get rid of it if we're going to run our race with patience. Number three, we need to remember those who have finished well. We need to remember those who have finished well. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Listen, all of us, anyone can start well. But we don't want to just start well. We want to finish well. Do you agree with that? I mean, I used this illustration before, but we can start a race right now. I mean, let's go outside and we'll start the race right now. We'll start here at the church and we're going to run right across Kitchener, right to the very end. We can all start that race. But how many will finish? How many will finish well? Our goal is to finish well. Let's look at what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5. Would you turn there? Galatians chapter 5. And notice what the scripture says. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 7. Galatians 5 verse 7. Look what the scripture says. Galatians chapter 5. Now here the apostle Paul is writing here to the church here at Galatia. And he's writing to these believers, these Galatian believers. And he makes a statement in verse 7. He says, "Ye did run well." They started well. They started the race good. But look what the Bible says. "Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" The Galatians started well, but they had stopped obeying God, and therefore they had stopped pleasing God. And because of that, they were not excelling. They were not running their race well. Now notice the Bible says here, it's not "what did hinder you," though it could be a "what." It could be something in your life that is hindering you. But notice there the Bible says "who." I think the context is speaking of the false teachers within the church. But let me say this. Many times in our Christian life, the "who" is ourselves. We trip ourselves up. We are our worst enemy. And we are the ones why we don't run well in the Christian life. And Christian, listen to me. This ought to be a concern of yours. Because if your attitude is, "Well, you know, I'm a spiritual giant, I'll be fine, I'll keep running well, I'm not really concerned about it." Last time I read in my Bible, it says, "Take heed lest ye fall." I've seen Christians that were much stronger in the faith than you that got tripped up and they didn't finish well in the Christian life. And I'm here to tell you, I'm here to remind you, I'm here to remind myself that we need to make sure that we keep on running. We need to be reminded of those who did not finish well, who did not honor the Lord. We think in the Christian life that when we get to heaven, we're just automatically going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good." Listen, we only hear that if we're a good steward, if we've done well, if we've been faithful. And it has to be our goal as Christians to finish well. And the Bible says that there are those around us, a cloud of witnesses who are cheering us on. I believe in the context, he's speaking of Hebrews chapter 11. I believe the great cloud of witnesses are those who have finished the race. And the Bible says they finished the race well. Now, this is so important. Please, please understand this. Because when you read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, you read a list of people, individuals who were not perfect. They messed up. They failed at particular times in their life. I mean, look at these individuals. Abraham, did he always make the right decisions? Moses was a murderer. And yet the Bible does not focus on their failures. It focuses on their faith. And I'm here to remind you that if you trip up and you fall, then get back up on your feet again and keep on running and keep on moving forward. Because just because you fail, failures does not make you a failure. So get back on your feet and keep on running for the glory of God. Learn from your mistakes. Don't live in them, but keep on excelling forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says all around us are those, and they are a source of encouragement for us to keep on running, to keep on moving. If we're weary, if we're exhausted, then they're cheering us on. Keep on running. Keep on going. Keep on moving forward for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did they have trouble? Absolutely. Did they have persecution? There's no doubt about it. Did they have hurts in their heart? Were they offended? You want to believe it. I mean, they had it all. What did they do? They just kept running. By faith, they kept on running. And that is what the Christian life is about. We have a race that's set before us, and we are to run it with patience. Listen, if I gave up on God the first time I was offended in ministry, I would have quit a long, long, long time ago. You just keep on running. You just keep your eyes on Jesus, and you keep on running for His glory. We see number four in our text, our great example, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse number two, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Christian, we must learn to value what is valuable. Oftentimes we place value on things that are not valuable in our life. We need to value what is truly valuable in our Christian life. And we have an ultimate example in our life today, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the example of what it truly means to be a Christian. He ran His race perfectly. Perfectly. And so we don't look at other Christians. You don't look at other Christians and say, well, they have this in their race, or they have this trial, or they don't have this trial. No, you look to Jesus. He ran His race perfectly. He persevered. He kept on running. The Bible says in the Gospels that Jesus went a little further. I'm glad He went a little further, aren't you? And the Bible teaches us that we are to look to our great example, the Lord Jesus. We notice in our text that He had a deferred joy. Look what the Bible says, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Oftentimes in our society, it's all about the joy today or the pleasure that we can have now. And the Bible says there is pleasure in sin, but it's just for a season. And we're all about instant gratification. But Jesus did not live His life for instant gratification. No, there was deferred joy. There was a cross. There was a burden. There was hardship. And then after that would come the joy. By the way, the joy He's talking about is Christians who've gathered together on a rainy, cold November Sunday morning to worship His holy name and to give Him glory and to give Him honor. That's the joy it's talking about. And so, friend, I tell you, there may be pain today and there might be hardship today, but joy comes in the morning. So keep on serving the Lord. I love what the hymn writer said. He said, it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. The immediate investment was painful, but the joy paid off was deferred. And this is the challenge that we must live our life by. Not only was there deferred joy, but there was also the Father's approval. The Lord Jesus lived His life for the Father's approval. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, the approval of God must be a significant source. And why we keep on running. Because listen, Christian, if you get nothing from this message, then please understand this. The race that you run is all for the audience of one. the Lord Jesus. You must run your race for His glory. You must run your race to please Him. And when we do this, then we put things in the proper perspective. We put pain in its proper perspective. Pain, you know, it plays a large role in the decisions that we make. I'm not talking about physical pain. I'm talking about emotional pain. You know, maybe we've been offended, or this person said this, or this person didn't say that. And so we're just going to quit on God. We're just going to give up on the Christian life. That's silliness. That's foolishness. Your Christian life is not lived for them. Your Christian life is lived for Him. And so pain must have its proper perspective, and burdens and hardship must be placed in its proper perspective. Even people have to be placed in its proper perspective. The Bible says in verse 3, it says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind." Jesus faced a continuous movement of disapproval and opposition. Everywhere he went, he was opposed by the Pharisees who hated him, by those who were just looking for gratification today, maybe to be fed or to see a miracle. The reality is that Jesus continually faced opposition. And yet, listen to me, the reality is he cared more about the Father's approval than the approval of all the religious leaders at that time. And this is how we must live our Christian life. We fear people so much today because we fear God so little. God must be number one. God must have priority in our life. We run our race for the audience of Him. Remember, our race comes down to this. Are we pleasing God or are we not pleasing God? It ought to be our heartbeat to say, "Hey, listen, I'm going to run well. I'm going to run for the glory of God." And it doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter the opposition, because when you stand up for truth, there will be opposition. They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted, the Bible says. So there'll be opposition, but I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep running well because of Him, because of His glory. If we are to do what is right in the face, in the race that is set before us, then we worry too much about what the world thinks, and we worry less about what God thinks. We must realize that much of our lives are determined by the choices we make. And we must choose to follow God's purpose for us. We must choose to persevere. Don't quit. Don't give up. Keep on serving God and living for Him. Realize that failure is not final. One of the most subtle and effective attacks of the enemy is to use our failures to try to get us to quit. But failure is not final. The illustration in our text is that of a race. What is most important is not how fast we run the race, or not about others that are running our race around us, but the most important focus of our life is, what does Jesus think about my race? Am I running well for Him? And there will be obstacles in our path, and there will be failures. But don't give up, because there's a stadium filled with battered and beaten teammates who have already finished the crossing line. And they are cheering you on. They're saying, "Run, run well for our King." And perhaps most important, there's a coach who loves us, who gave His life so that we could run. And He's encouraging us every day to keep on running. I think if we could pierce into the glories of heaven as we live our life each and every day, I think we would hear Jesus say this: "Keep on running. Keep on running." When I was in high school, I played some softball. I wasn't that good, but I really did enjoy the sport. And during softball, especially when you're for children playing, they would have various coaches. They would have a first base coach and a third base coach. And the third base coach, his job was to see where the ball was in the outfield, because you're not supposed to look at the ball. You're supposed to look at the goal. And so he would see where the ball was in the outfield. And then he would cheer you on, encourage you to keep on running, run hard. They'd say, run hard. And that coach, he would be at that third base line, and he would, I don't know if I can do this with my suit jacket, but he'd be waving his hand like this, and he'd be like, come on, run, run. And he'd be waving his hand for you to run, and you'd put your head down, and you would run like everything that you could. I mean, you wouldn't look at the ball. You wouldn't look at the other teammates. You'd just look at the home base, and you would run with all of your might. And that's what Jesus is doing for us today. He's saying, run, run. Keep on running. Don't worry about what the people say. Keep on running. I know the burdens are hard, but I've given you grace. Keep on running. Keep on running until one day we see him face to face. And I believe that the words of the hymn writer would ring true for every Christian. It is worth it all. It is worth it all as we see the Lord Jesus. Don't choose to be a used to be or a has-been. Choose to keep on keeping on. Choose to press toward the mark. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly